Most of you know that I'm a big fan of Ramana Maharshi. And there is a practice that Ramana is famous for teaching. Most of us at this point associate Ramana Maharshi with self-inquiry, right? That's his famous practice that is very misunderstood in the Neo-Advaita community, because self-inquiry really is another way that Ramana would talk about self-inquiry was actually the practice of self-attention. Self-inquiry, we can say, was sort of Ramana's method of helping you to connect with the true self. But after that, the practice is really abiding as the true self. Yeah. How long can you keep your attention on the real self you are? Like if you got, Jason Bourne, bumped in an accident, amnesia, wake up, not sure who you are. And some crookster gives you a fake ID and tries to convince you you're some guy that you're not. And you're none the wiser because you're still disoriented, trying to figure out, where am I? Who am I? What's going on? And so someone's like, this is who you are. You're this guy. And that's how they brainwash him, right? To work for the government. Well, what if you found out that this is a fake identity like Jason Bourne does and says, oh, this isn't who I am. I'm someone else. I am Jason Bourne. And now you have to keep your attention on this new identity because now you're convinced that that's actually what I am. But there will be conditioning that makes you want to keep identifying as that old self. So how are you ever going to make that transition from the false self to the true self unless you learn to eventually have your attention on the true self permanently, right? To where everything you do, everything you say, every move you make it in, as, and through that self, naturally, automatically, thoughtlessly. That's a real identity, right? You don't go around reminding yourself, I am Aaron Apke. I need to speak like Aaron. I need to talk like Aaron. How would Aaron behave right now? That's how the mind turns self-attention into this kind of mental exercise of like thinking through, what would my true self do? So it's not actually natural, right? It's not really abiding as the self. When you're abiding as the self, it's effortless, right? The self lives you when you're abiding as the true self. So we have this question when it comes to this most potent practice that there is available, self-attention, as Ramana called it. Self-abidance is another term for it. The question comes up, how to do it? Like simple enough in theory, but I seemingly can't ever figure out if I'm really doing it right. If we tell the mind to abide as the true self, and we do that without love, right? Then the mind just has to create a concept of the true self and then try to think about that true self a lot. And so, we're told by another great master, Nisargadatta, remember I am, abide as I am, pay attention only to I am, be aware only of the I am feeling within you. That's self-abidance. So we're like, okay, here I go. I am. I am. I am. Am I doing it? Immediately the ego hijacks it, right? It makes it a mental exercise. So if we're going to do this exercise, this practice rather, correctly, we have to learn how to make it natural. Yeah? How do we do that? How do we make self-abidance the simplest, most natural, easiest practice to do? If we could do that, that'd be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? Because we're taking the most powerful spiritual practice one could ever do, self-attention, and we're making it the simplest, naturalest, easiest, most automatic thing to do. Wow, that's going to lead to self-realization pretty quick, don't you think? So how do we do that? How do we make this practice natural? Ramana would always tell people, don't think about the self. Don't try to be the self. Just be as you are. That's the famous book titled after Ramana Maharshi, Be As You Are. How do we do it, guys? How do we be as we are? What are we? What is God? God is love. Yeah? The self, the true self, is pure love. And that's all it is. We have to get it out of our head that the true self is anything but love. So once we know that love is the true self, then all of a sudden our practice becomes very easy. Just practice being loving. Practice being in loving relationship to everything. Now let's look at this from yet another context today. The mind only has two gears or two relationships that it can have with anything. The mind is dualistic, ego is duality, right? So it can only have one of two relationships to anything, attraction or aversion, right? Attachment or resistance. Those are the only two relationships ego can have with anything. And really, both of those relationships are just separation, right? But it plays itself out in duality as attraction and aversion, attraction and aversion. That's literally the only two gears the mind has available. So we can see the mind like a pendulum that's just always oscillating back and forth between attraction and aversion forever. With every object, with every person, every thought, every experience, the mind is either trying to grasp something from it, or it's trying to resist something from it. But those are the only two relationships available for the ego. So the mind is a pendulum. The I am is the axis. The true self is the axis upon which that mind is turning. And at the axis of the pendulum, there's no movement. Yeah, there's just stillness, perfection, wholeness, completion. So our goal here is, how do I abide as the axis and get off the pendulum? How do I get out of this constant pendulum undulation? This happens to us. This is happening to every human being, right, on earth. They're being swung back and forth by the mind constantly. Attraction and aversion, attachment, resistance, and suffering, 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 suffering. So until the pendulum swing gets so overwhelming that we start craving a spiritual practice to make our mind still, it's just going to keep increasing, right? Because when I'm in attraction, it's like I'm tapping this side of the pendulum. When I'm in aversion, I tap the other side of the pendulum. Attraction, aversion, and the swing just gets wider and wider each time. So now there's a ton of inertia, a ton of momentum, a ton of suffering. So we need to get out of the pendulum and make our way up to the axis where there's stillness and peace and harmony. Once we start craving a spiritual practice to make the mind still, we start meditating, we start adopting all of these different, you know, spiritual practices. But we can really throw them all away. We can throw away every other practice but this one. Self-attention, self-abidance, abiding in loving relationship to everything. If we could just do that, we will fulfill every other spiritual practice, right? As Jesus said, love is the fulfillment of the law. All the law and the prophets are summarized in this one law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two or one commandment are all the laws and prophets fulfilled, Jesus said. So Jesus is making it very clear that this is the only practice we need. Practice being in loving relationship to everything, because only the true self can be loving. Only the true self is love, yeah? Ego cannot be in a loving relationship to anything. Ego can only have attraction or aversion. So if I'm practicing being in a loving relationship to all things, then I'm not an ego, am I? Because ego can't have a loving relationship. So there we go. We got out of the ego and we got into the true self just by doing one thing, loving relationships. So Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the loving relationship. Your mind is also your neighbor. Isn't your mind like a loud next door neighbor that you can hear chattering all the time? The mind is your neighbor, also something you have a relationship to, also something that appears in awareness. So the mind is your neighbor. The body is your neighbor. How many people have abusive, unloving relationships towards the body? Your past memories is your neighbor. you're living with those too, right? Your thoughts are your neighbors. Like anything you can be aware of is thy neighbor. And Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So when you're in a loving relationship to something, then you're not in attraction or aversion toward that thing, right? Because as we said last week, both of those are unloving relationships. To attach, to cling, to take, that's unloving. To push, to resist, to change, to control, that's not loving. So when you're not in one of those two, you're not on the pendulum. Yeah, you're in the axis, the I am. So here we go. How to abide as I am? The question comes back again, yeah? Abide as the self, Ramana says, to which we reply, but Ramana, how to do it? And there it is. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love everything. Be in loving relationship to every possible thing. And you're in the I am. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wonder, am I an I am? Am I doing it? I am. Yeah, I did it, right? Yeah, that's abiding, isn't it? I can narrate this pretty well for you because I've experienced it for a long time. This is how the mind does self-inquiry. It's just a big mental jerk-off for the mind. So we can throw the mind out the door and just be in loving relationship and know for certain we're in I am. Like, let's say there's a dancer who is just so passionate about dance, and when they dance, they feel as if they're becoming one with the dancing deity of the universe, the god of dance or the goddess of dance, right? When they get deep into a flow state with dancing, they somehow feel like they're merging with this goddess of dance, and it dances through them and it moves their limbs, right? Dancers describe this kind of state. And so it's like, if I want to be dance itself, I want to merge with dance. I want to feel the spirit of dance puppeteering my body. That's the experience I want. Then we say, well, how do you do that? Through dancing, right? If dancing is happening, dance is present. The archetype of dance, the god of dance, everything that dances through that. So it's like, this is what we're saying to you and I. If we want to abide as I am, the true self, the perfect self, we have to be in loving relationship. Because the true self is in loving relationship to everything, constantly, for eternity. So if we're in an unloving relationship, we're not in that self, yeah? For all of time and all of eternity and all of history, God has been in service to life. And for all of time and all of history in the universe, life has been in service to God. God makes and sustains the universe by its power, and the universe constantly reflects the Creator's glory back to the Creator, giving and receiving, like a heartbeat, right? Diastolic and systolic, giving and receiving. So how are you possibly going to connect with that? If you're in taking and keeping, and you're living your life this way, all your thoughts are based on taking and keeping and taking and keeping. Well, it's no wonder you're suffering, right? You're cut off from unity. You're cut off from the harmony of God's being, because there isn't any separation in God. You know, it's just not there. So if it's in me, it's in me as an illusion. And it's an illusion I must and can therefore transcend. I don't need a bunch of high-level non-duality concepts about nobody exists and there is no thinker. I don't even need that stuff if I just have a loving relationship to my mind, to every thought, to every emotion, to every experience. Just love it, forgive it, have compassion for it, have gratitude for it. Any love-based energy will do, but just be in loving relationship. Nisargadatta said, the I am is pure love. So if you're trying to connect to it just as a concept, and I mean, concepts can be useful. Obviously, I'm not throwing them out with the bathwater or something, but they're always meant as pointers to what's real. The concepts are never the real themselves, yeah? What is real and actual is eternal, is unambiguous, is unchangeable, immutable, incorruptible. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It pre-exists all of that. That's your true nature. That's what love is. Love is prior to the concept of love. You know, it's an eternal mystery that can really just be experienced. And this is service to others. This is why service to others is the path to unity. This is why service to others is the path to fourth density consciousness. Because God is service to life, and life is service to God. So if you're in service, you're in the unity, right? You're in the unity of giving and receiving. And so as the heart is activated through your service, as the heart is activated through your loving relationship to everything, the mind gradually realizes, I don't need to fear anything. It's all just love out there. I don't need to try to control anything because it's all perfect in love already. And the mind just becomes very quiet, very naturally, like singing a lullaby to sing the mind to sleep with, rather than trying to hammer and beat the mind with concepts and non-duality until it submits. That's how most of us have been trying to go about it. And hey, you know, some people are successful in that route, right? There's total merit to that, but that's for a rare few. Most of us need to sing the mind to sleep with a lullaby of love. And so we do that as we are in service. That's the lullaby we're giving the mind. As the mind is forced to watch us bless someone else, as the mind is forced to constantly watch us get beyond ourselves and love someone else and bless someone else and then feel joy from it, the mind starts to go, ooh, this whole unity and love thing's kind of nice. I kind of prefer it over separation and fear. We give the mind no choice but to accept the sweetness of love. It's a flavor too rich to be resisted, right? Even the most evil villain on earth loves to be loved, wants to be loved. You know, everything is a cry for love. So why don't we answer that cry? That's loving relationship. Feel like that landed, huh? Okay, so I'm gonna put that on YouTube. Everybody go watch that 5 more times, all right? Hey everyone, thank you for watching today's video. I hope that you were truly blessed by it. And I wanted to let you know that I'm really excited to now be partnering with an amazing conscious supplement company called Organifi. A lot of you know that I'm also passionate about holistic health and nutrition. And Organifi has been a staple in my daily health routine for a very long time. They make the most delicious, organic, and high-quality superfood products that I've ever come across. And as you know, a healthy body is a great benefit for spiritual growth, because the health of your body directly translates to the health of your mind. Everything is connected. So feeding your body with high vibrational superfoods straight from the earth is one of the best ways to create that environment for a healthy mind. But getting all the superfoods that your body needs in one day can admittedly be a little bit tough. And that is where Organifi can add a ton of value to your life. I personally start every day off with green, which is Organifi's really delicious blend of 11 superfoods like ashwagandha, chlorella, and moringa. And then in the middle of the day, I'll usually have a scoop of red, which is a delicious energy blend full of 13 adaptogens and antioxidants from berries to recharge your mind and body with a delicious blend of organic superfoods. Your body is an amazing organic machine, but it needs the right fuel and signals to function at its best. And red is full of adaptogens sourced from organic herbs and medicinal mushrooms. And these are compounds that balance hormones, prime your energy pathways, and alleviate stress. So instead of crushing your adrenal system with huge doses of caffeine every day, adaptogens work with your body and give you natural, sustained energy all throughout the day. What's most important to me, though, about Organifi is the way that they go above and beyond to ensure the cleanest and purest ingredients in all of their products. They are USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, certified glyphosate-free, and absolutely zero fillers. So I never go anywhere without Organifi, and I never miss a day without taking it. And Organifi is offering a super generous discount of 20% off of your entire order when you use the coupon code ABKEY at checkout. So if you want to upgrade your health regimen with Organifi, you can click on the link in the description box below to learn more about all the amazing products that they offer. And I promise you that your mind and your body are going to thank you for it.